From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are stepping up efforts to keep struggling homeowners out of foreclosure. And the Republican Governors Association meeting begins today. Former vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin says if her country needs her for higher office, she's still in the game. Here to break it down, we've got Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert George, associate editorial page editor for the New York Post. Hi, guys.
Hi, Farai.
Hey, Farai.
Wow, I just, there's so much to keep track of.
I thought things were supposed to slow down after the election.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. The bailout plans, they just keep coming.
And they keep changing.
So, okay, you know, Mary, let me start with you. The Treasury Secretary, Henry Paulson, says he's changing this $700 billion financial industry bailout plan, shifting away from a plan to buy mortgage assets that plunged in value, taking a look at how to get consumer credit flowing. What does that really mean on a practical level, both for government and for, you know, real people?
Well, what it means is that first they figured out that trying to buy asset-based mortgages and figuring out how to price them and all that was too complicated, and it really wasn't doing anything to get any credit out there to people. And secondly, going to now help to bail out the credit card companies and the auto loan companies is helpful to people who have loans and who have credit card loans. But the arguments for not going to other sectors of the economy seem to grow more and more irrational as we go to different sectors. And the question is, how many sectors are we going to with this bailout, and how do some people get covered and others not? And if Mr. Paulson wasn't even sure that what he did so far would work and it didn't, how do we know that this will work?
Well, I mean, this is getting plain nuts, frankly. I personally
I was trying to be polite, Robert.
That's why you've got a Republican on here, so you don't have to be polite. The fact is, I was nominally supportive of the bailout because of the, when I say the bailout, of the $700 billion one, not as opposed to the 80/123/150 billion dollar AIG bailout, all the other ones, but I was nominally supportive of the $700 billion one because it was very, very clear that you were having this credit crunch and it was spilling over into the general economy and so forth. But I mean, in any other circumstances, this would look like a bait and switch where the guy says, "Oh, you know, please give me this money because I'm going to need to use it for X," and then it suddenly turns around and then uses it for Y, and then. Again, you also have all of these, as Murray said, you have all of these people basically lining up for their handout. You've got American Express, which reconsolidated as a banking investment company, and they'll say, "Oh, well, we need some money as well." I mean, it sounds a little bit extreme to say this, but you really are running into a direction of practically, you know, nationalizing just about every major industry in the country,
and I think. With that, Robert, a crisis of confidence is what we still have. Yeah. Because no matter what they do, the essential problem is that credit has not begun to flow and seems to be frozen. No one is really sure when this is all going to end or how far it's going to go. And people who have money are sitting on it. And when institutions get money and organizations, now credit card companies, before that banks, they want to sit on some of it because they want to see how this is all going to play out. So Paulson hasn't found the magic bullet to make anybody do anything to free up credit.
Robert, I have to jump in because I want to make sure that we get to the whole question
of
mortgages.
All right.
You know, because, you know, there's this kind of big umbrella of what's happening in all these different bailouts and with the financial companies. But now there's a specific issue on the table. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac announced they would adjust home loans so that more people in trouble can stay in their homes. And the details, again, are developing. But we're talking about something that looks like people who were more than 90 days late on their loan payments would get adjusted mortgages having to do with interest rates. Now, first of all, Mary, this only applies to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Is that enough?
No, it's not enough. Housing advocates immediately said it was not enough. because it's a step forward and it's different from what was going on before. But in the first place, why 90 days? And if you have 80 days, you know, why not? And should you wait until you have 90 days? And secondly, the idea was that when your mortgage was renegotiated, it would be something like 30-something percent of your, no more than 30-something percent of your income would be what they would charge you for the new mortgage. And the question was, how is that all calculated? And what about people who don't have Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, mortgages? So that what it did was made people heartened at first, and then they started figuring out the details and then saying, okay, now who doesn't this cover? And how is this going to work?
Well, Robert, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup are all saying that they'll play ball along roughly the same lines. Is that enough? Or what does, more than is that enough, what will it take to give homeowners a stake in a recovery?
The easy answer is I don't know, and I don't think any of us really know. In a sense, all of the partisan or ideological rules have been kind of thrown out the window, because this crisis has gotten us to a situation where Republicans are becoming in favor of socialism and Democrats are becoming in favor of corporate welfare. And as a result, the people who are being sort of like left out on the side are indeed some of these people with these mortgages. Now, the free market or conservative Republican approach would be saying, well, you know, these are the people who should have known better, and just let them deal with it themselves. Unfortunately, we've gotten into a situation where those bad mortgages are having a ripple effect across the entire housing industry, causing even those people who have actually played by the rules, have made their payments on time, their housing values have also started to fall. In many cases, have fallen below the equity that they have in their within their houses. So people who've been doing the right thing are also getting harmed. So. I'm saying that we do need to find a solution where if the other banks are going to be following Fannie and Freddie into this and helping them out, we need to do it. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot
I've got to move us on to another topic. I know there's just so much news, and this really we only got a couple minutes to talk about.
Palin.
But yes, Sarah Palin. There's the Republican Governors Association meeting beginning today. I'm going to ask you about that in a second, Robert. But first, Sarah Palin, she's going on a media tour to basically recover her legacy. Fox's Greta Van Susteren asked her about the rumor that she didn't know Africa was a continent and not a country. Here's part of her response.
We discussed what was going on in Africa, and never, ever did I talk about, well, gee, is it a country or is it a continent? I just don't know about this issue. So I don't know how they took our one discussion on Africa and turned that into what they turned it into.
Do you think stuff like this helps her out, Mary?
I think that what Sarah Palin is doing now is she's free at last of the campaign. she's going out now to try to repair her image. And then after that, and she will start a sort of charm offensive after she does that to ready herself for additional leadership. If she doesn't say anything else really silly, and she manages to get by with some of that, maybe it will decline. But I think that the intellectuals within the Republican Party are so upset at the idea of somebody like her, who seems to them to have no ideas and to be crassly anti-intellectual, leading the party, means that she still will continue to be attacked, and they will try to keep her submerged.
Robert, there's also this Republican Governors Association meeting that starts today in Miami. You've got Governor Palin, you've got Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, Charlie Crist of Florida, Bobby Jindal of Louisiana, all who have some different degree of high profile. We don't have time to go through each of them, but what roles do you see? Do you see any one of these guys or women taking a top spot in Republican leadership or being a 2012 candidate?
Without question. I would say Pawlenty, Mitch Daniels from Indiana, and Bobby Jindal are probably the top three. Sarah Palin is definitely going to be a factor. I think actually the McCain people were rather stupid to the McCain associates who were like attacking her and leaking about this stuff about her were rather foolish, because that actually enabled her to get another platform and talk a little bit more about herself and make herself more prominent. Jindal, though, I think is definitely going to be the person people will be looking at. He's younger. He happens to be, you know, a person of color with a funny name to go against the person of color with a funny name against the Democrats. You know, look, if I can, pardon the expression, call a spade here. But I mean,
letters.
Exactly. But those are going to be. But the thing is, Jindal is also somebody who has also studied healthcare as an issue as well. So he's somebody who's got like great ideas to actually move the Republican Party and the conservative movement forward. Okay. So those are the names you're going to be
hearing. And it depends on what happens in Louisiana and how successful he is with all the recovery stuff there. That this will sort of burnish his image if he can do that.
All right, and Mary, really, really quickly, Michael Steele, do you think he has a chance, African-American former lieutenant governor of Maryland, to lead the whole Republican Party?
I think he has a chance. I think the other people that you named are sort of out ahead of him. They wouldn't want to replicate exactly what the Democrats did, and I think Jindal has more of a shot than he does, but I think he has a shot.
But in terms of Steele as RNC chair instead of 2012, absolutely, I think Steele would be perfect in that position, actually.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We were talking with Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and she was at NPR's headquarters in Washington, D.C., plus Robert George, associate editorial page editor for the New York Post, and he was with us at our NPR studios in New York.